side and say, enough is enough. We're not going to take this, and we're going to unite, and we're going to speak with one voice. Yes, that one voice may not look exactly the way we would like it, but that one voice is a voice for our future. That's my challenge to you. Thank you for your patience.
That was Ginny Sims, president of the Teachers Federation in the Canadian province of British Columbia. Her talk to the Coalition of Progressive Electors in February 2007 was recorded and edited by Frieda Worden. Introductory audio, courtesy of Working TV.
Our email is wings@wings.org. Website, www.wings.org. The Wings sound logo is from Livana's album, A Circle Is Cast. Special thanks to Suzette Cullen and to Genevieve Vaughn, author of 36 Steps to a Gift Economy. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Sagittarius, the archer. Capricornus, the seal. Aquarius, the water carrier. Pisces.
It's radio, radio night.
Taurus, the
bull. In Canada, on CITR 101.9. And we can be iPodded. We.
You.
Yours truly, truly, Long John Tanner. And young rising star of local indie films.
Hear, hear.
The ne'er-do-well son of semi-legendary radio madman, J.B. Shane.
That's my dad.
We're very much aware of tonight's importance to those for whom the opiates of the masses is front and center.
Hey, Canucks!
Will the Canucks go on to glory?
Yeah!
Or be crushed in the quest for the cup?
They're going down, man.
So we will attempt to keep those who care and have no access to any transmitting medium fully informed.
We will, we will.
It's game time.
Let's play
radio.
Radio.
Formerly Son of Night Dreams. CITR, Son of Night Dreams, formerly now Radio Radio. We're back on the radio, are we? Yeah. Oh, God. Well, it's been a crazy
day.
Would
you rather it be television, man?
No, pretty scary if we're on TV here, Nimrod. Nice to have you back, though. Nimrod was away on another shoot two weeks ago. Yeah. Me and my own. Missed you, young man.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, well, you know, what can you do? When you gotta work, you gotta work and pay those bills.
Oh, you get paid plenty here.
Yeah, you do.
I've seen your checks, man. They bounce every time. Well, we did a cool part in a short independent. Is my hat getting in the way?
Yeah, your hat's bumping into the microphone there.
Just
reverse it the other way. Yes. Some of the background sounds you heard today are from a group called CinemaScope. So that's what you're hearing in the background.
They would be local.
And the sound of Nimrod's hat. I'm trying to figure that out. They are Canadian.
Well, that's good enough.
Yes.
That qualifies as CanCon.
It sure does.
Yeah, I did a cool part in a short independent feature called The Fetishist, playing an obsessed dude who got off on smelling magazines and newspapers. gets contact highs from the print, but it's something I'd rather not talk about. See it when it comes out, because it probably never will. It's just one of those little movies that I do to get my career in mode so that I can be, you know, like somebody important someday and do movies, you know, and I'll get there, man. It'll take a long time, you know. My dad says, you know, Nimrod, the only way that you're going to make it is to try to make it, and you know that yourself, because you've made it. I mean, and you're still making it. You're still making it. Hey, Arcade Fire are playing, they're coming up in May, the night after Bjork. Right.
Yes.
Now, you would kind of wish that it was both on the same bill, kind of like a mini-palooza,
yeah.
You know, but that's not to be. So there are people that are planning. I have talked to them, and this is very cool. They're planning to sleep over in Deer Lake Park. Now, you know, being from the Burnaby area, that Deer Lake is a big open area,
mm-hmm.
and it can accommodate thousands of people, right?
It can, yes.
But do you know if there's a bylaw that would say, that would dictate that you cannot sleep over, you know, even if you have tickets for both shows?
Well, maybe if you're hammock was from the tops of the trees or something.
Right.
I don't
know. Right.
I don't want to.
You don't want to say something,
because
you don't want to get anything nasty from the Parks Board come down on Bryce, you know,
because right.
that would happen. You know, always does.
Oh, yeah.
We always say things, and he always gets it. Anyway, concerts are coming up. A lot of concerts. I guess you didn't get into what's our friend from New York, Russian lady, what's her name? Regina Spektor on the weekend.
Sold
out. Did you try to get on the guest list?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Actually, no.
Are you on the guest list for the Kaiser Chiefs?
No, I'm not.
Are you on tonight or tomorrow night's gig for Damian Rice?
Sorry. No.
You're not on the... what about Interpol? Did you get on the guest list for that?
No.
Okay, well, I'm on the guest list May the 1st, ha, 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 for Jarvis Cocker. He's coming here. He's got, of course, a new album out. But we thought we would do something just a little bit different. And rather than play, you know, like pump his new CD, which is rather fine, that we'd go back in time to a period of time when he owned the charts with the group Pulp, back about 1995. This is a CITR classic.
She came from Greece, she had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. That's where I caught her eye. She told me that the dad was loaded. I said, in that case, I'm a rumor. Coca-Cola, she said, fine. And then in 30 seconds time, she said, I wanna live like common people. I wanna do whatever common people do. Wanna sleep with common people. I wanna sleep with common people like you. What else could I do? I said, oh, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you got no money. And she just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah. I can't see anyone else smiling. Are you sure?
You wanna live like common people. You wanna see whatever common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand. She just smiled and held my hand. A cut your hair and get a job. A smoke some facts and play some pool. Pretend you never went to school. Still you'll never get it right. It's when you're laid in bed at night, watching roaches climb the wall. If you called your dad, he could stop it. Oh yeah.
Jarvis, Jarvis Cocker, Jarvis Cocker. You don't know, you don't remember Pulp, I guess. You were probably not that hip in 1995. They didn't even play that on the earlier Pulp. They didn't even play that on that station you worked with my dad on, Coast 100,000 or whatever it was.
1040. Well, right, actually, right. They went off the air in 93, so was Pulp around then?
Yeah, they were around, but they the music director didn't even want to, you know, and they liked They liked Brit pop, but they never played. I don't recall you. I was just a kid, and I never heard Pulp played at all.
Oh, too bad. Oh, too
anyway,
bad.
Common people rule. We have the power. We just don't know it. And Jarvis is in town on May the 1st. I think it's sold out, but there's a few tickets around. It'll be a show not to miss, but can't get you on the guest list long, John. Sorry about that.
Oh, well, c'est la vie.
The name of the program is Radio Radio for now. The hockey game is on. It is has started. We already have no score as yet. We're going to keep you informed on it because we know that not everybody watches the game who may be listening to the radio. I know many people, many citizens are torn between listening to radio and watching a major NHL hockey game. We know that. You know, fuck it all, doesn't matter. We don't care. We're just proud and happy to be here and part of it. But we do care very much, like all the signs that you can see out there on the, have you seen on the side of the buildings in Yale Town, man, that they have hanging down these flags that say, "We want the cup." Have you not seen that? You haven't seen that? You haven't?
No.
Are you with me? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right.
Sorry, I'm drifting off here.
Man,
my mind's drifting down the hall to the television. So you carry on so then I can run down the hall and check out the score.
Okay, he's going to run down the hall. Don't run too fast. You'll hurt yourself. You know, like just walk slowly, you know, back straight. And so what was I talking about? Oh, the common people and Jarvis Cocker and... he was the quintessential British Brit pop star at that time, and a new album is fine, but we chose to play the classic. And now, speaking of Brits, it is with great deal of pleasure, I think, that I introduce to you, the radio audience out there, a very good friend of my dad's, Mr. Shane, but also one of the truly great members of the British Empire who is still around and still thriving if you've never met him before, this man is a treat. He is the real thing. Just listen to the sound of his voice when I introduce to you and say, "Good evening, Lord Cubitt." Are you there?
I'm here. Good evening.
See, and you hear the humility in his voice.
is that Nimrod?
This is Nimrod, man.
Nimrod, why did your father choose that name for you? Did he anticipate you would be a great hunter or sportsman?
No, he
which is the name, which is what that name is.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Oh,
wow.
Geez.
Shit, no shit. My name originally was Ralph, and I decided that we wanted it. You know, I didn't want it, and I didn't like it.
I don't blame you.
No. So at any rate, Lord Cubitt, you are part of a group of people that are called, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm saying it wrong, how do you say it? Marmiteers?
Marmiteers.
Marmite tears. Now, that's nothing to do with little rodents. It has more to do with a food substance that I abhor because I've tried it, and every one of my English friends says, "You're daft. You don't know it. You don't know how good it's for you." Now, we're talking about Marmite, and for the Aussie listener out there, not Vegemite, mind, but Marmite. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. Yeah, the Australians make their own version of it. It's a poor substitute, really. It doesn't come close to the real stuff.
Okay, the real stuff. Why? I've tried it. I mean, I've tried it on toast. I've tried it on bread.
I don't believe you.
No, I have. Long John Tanner was born in England, and he still eats the stuff occasionally when he's feeling, you know, like in a
really
pool.
Sick.
Really sick. He's
sick before he eats or after?
I think after. I mean, I was after. Words, I threw up for like days. I don't know how anybody. Now I know it's healthy, right? What exactly is Marmite?
It's a yeast extract.
A yeast extract. Okay,
yeah.
Well that just sounds real healthy. it makes me want, you know, I want my yeast.
Makes you want to rush out and buy some, doesn't it?
Kind of like that. Yeah, kind of like that. That's a good way of putting it. But you know where I put it was in the toilet. having to try it at one time. And you have it usually on bread. See, this is
you have it usually have it on bread and butter, yes.
Bread and butter?
Bread and butter.
And the yeast extract on top of that?
Yes, you do.
Right, and it's very...
Well, you don't call it yeast extract. You call it Marmite.
Yes.
Okay, and it's very, and you can buy it locally. I've seen the little jars.
You can buy it anywhere, yeah. Very popular stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I don't know anybody. The only people that like it are senior English people,
not
usually.
Not true.
No?
Not true at all. No, both of my sons...
Right.
Have virtually, they're Canadian. One was born in Canada. The other one was born 6 months before he came to Canada. They're in their 40s now, just approaching 40 anyway, and they both love it.
Right. And what about other Brits living? I mean, see, the Marmiteers, you were saying earlier, and I got your email, and it said that there's approximately 25 all expatriate Brits who get together on the first day of summer at the place that is known as Little Hyde Park.
I'm interested that you found that out.
Well, that's because you emailed it to me, man. I mean, how would I not?
So I did. Yeah, I
forget about
it. My memory is sort of lapsing these days.
Too much yeast extract, that'll do it. So what happens here is that you get together and you have like a Marmite celebration at Little Hyde Park. Now, for the uninitiated, Little Hyde Park does exist. It's kind of a little piece of London right in the middle of Kitsilano, located between, right on the corner of Cornwall, correct me if I'm wrong, Cornwall and Laburnum.
That is...
Right?
That is correct.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
It's sort of the size of the postage stamp, actually.
Well, yeah, but
and we have a sort of Morris dance there every beginning of summer, you know.
Well, the sign is there. It just says, you know, if anybody is disbelieving, it says Hyde Park, Laburnum, and Cornwall, and you're going to be meeting there on the first day of summer for that, right?
Correct.
Not till June?
Well, it's going to be, I guess, around June 21st, right?
20th or 21st.
Well, that'll be cool. That's excellent. I mean, I'll be there, but I won't sample the shit. I'm not going to eat that.
Well, we will be. We will have some free samples there, of course. Yeah.
Free samples of Marmite and all the wonderful things you can do with it.
On buttered bread, of course.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. God, man. I mean, it's the supper hour. Give us a break. I mean,
so we've got lots of chance for people to run and hide before summer, so that's good.
Okay. Okay, now the interesting story here is, and I want to bring this to a conclusion because our music director is saying, "Play some fucking music." The thing about Marmite that's really interesting, and a lot of people don't know it, is as much as I hate it, and most people seem to hate it, is that.
Well, it was very important during. You're going to tell me it's very important during the war, and it was very important during the war because that's one of the reasons why we did so well.
You did so well. Are we talking
Germans,
about soccer?
The Germans, of course. The Germans were quite jealous of the fact that our flying people
right.
had Marmite as a sort of staple.
Oh, the RAF.
And they attributed some of their
skills,
flying ability, their skills to Marmite.
Well, so, because otherwise, what are they going to eat? You know, like pig. You know, and what was being shipped from Canada at that time? You know, I mean, so that really did play a part in making the pilots that much healthier.
Absolutely, it did wonders for their eyes, first of all.
Right. Well, to fly a Spitfire, you have to have good vision. I mean, that goes without saying. And was there at any time a plot on the part of the Luftwaffe under Uncle Hermann Goering to destroy the Marmite factories?
Well,
at all?
I'm not sure actually whether they wanted to destroy it or whether they wanted to capture it so they could have it for themselves.
Really?
Something like that, anyway.
Nazis eating Marmite? I don't know.
Well, in order to match the. The RAF skills, you see.
Oh, right. The RAF being RAF. Okay. And where were the factories that they...
Well, they were in Essex somewhere. I think Barking.
Barking,
like
Essex.
That.
That's where Billy Bragg comes from. Okay. Well, listen. We want to talk to you later on, closer to the time when the Marmiteers get together and have their due. And so I thank you, Lord Cubitt, for taking the time to call us on their behalf. Hate the stuff. Think it tastes like shit, but...
well, I don't know whether I should be talking to you at all.
Yeah, really.
Right, well, bon appetit. Bon appetit.
So, Lord Cubitt, I hope it helped you see the Foo Fighters out there.
The Foo Fighters?
Yes. Did you see any of those?
Well, personally, no. But
no. I bet you knew people that saw
it. I certainly did.
You did. Well, we'll have to get together with Michael Strainick and talk about Foo Fighters sometime. Thank you so much.
Let's do that.
All right. Mother, Mother at CITR's Radio, Mother, Mother. They have a new CD, and it's on the... well, check if you're in your favorite record store. Just look for the Discorder magazine, and there you will see Mother, Mother listed there, and Touch Up is the title of their latest CD, and that track, of course, was called Train of Thought. I don't want you to lose your train of thought or anything there.
Hey, Nimrod. Hockey score.
Oh,
we got a score.
Oh,
we
no.
got a score. I don't know what it is, but we got a score, and I'm not sure who it is, but we got a score, and we'll get that information to you within 5 to 10 minutes from right now.
Oh, sounds good. Okay, we're listening.
Right now, a gentleman who's playing in town tonight, this is Damian Rice. He may call us a little bit later on if you can afford to. Take the time. After all, we are only CITR
101.9.
Oh, we've changed.
No, it's always been that way.
Oh, if you say so.
From you, it's empty your head. They say, be true, don't stain your bed. We do what we need to be free, and it leans on me like a rootless tree. What I want from us is empty our minds. We fake the fuss and fracture the times. Go blind when we've needed to see, and it leans on me like a rude glass. So fuck you, fuck you.
CITR, Radio, Damian Rice.
Just came from the sports department. Just back from the sports department for you hockey fans. No score.
No score in the game. That's right. No score.
It's going to be a long night.
Okay. Well, that's okay. So, Damian, you said he's playing soon. I'm trying to find him here in our
calendar.
Well, I
think he's playing tonight.
Oh, that's the March.
What are you looking at?
Oh, I got the March Discorder magazine.
Man.
Wow, God, where's April? I didn't. Oh, okay. That's
April comes after March.
Yeah, it does.
And before May.
That. Yeah.
And these are the days of April. Hey,
what can you tell me about Damian Rice, there, Nimmy?
Well, he's Irish.
Ah, yes.
He sings. You know, his stuff is usually pretty soft. He's got a very beautiful voice, and it's nice to hear him cutting loose. You know, with a couple expletives. And,
oh yeah. Yes, he did.
He can show anger, mm-hmm. and his music was prominently featured in that movie that starred Clive Owen, Mike Nichols movie. I can't remember the name of it. Help me out, Long John. Natalie Portman, Jude Law. You know, yeah. Go ahead. What was it? What
you were talking about? A sci-fi movie?
No. I know that's the only kind of movies you know and like. But no, this was one, I can't remember the name of it. It was came out about 2 years ago. Was a really strongly scripted, strongly acted film.
Sorry.
But I can't remember. So we're of no help to anybody.
Oh, well.
Did I mention no score?
You did mention no score in the hockey game at this point in time. But then for people who are podcasting and it's later, they're saying, wait a minute, the game's, it's all over and the Canucks lost and they were eliminated.
What?
Oh, sorry, I should never say that. That's a bad omen. Listen,
they'll trash the city. you know.
Well, I actually do have high hopes for our boys.
You do?
Yes. Now, right now, we're going to take you back in time. Now, according to Dr. Bolide, or Slide, as Bumpo referred to Craig McCaw, Poppy Family guitarist, this record you're about to hear was recorded in the mid-60s, around 1965 or 66, by a local band called Little Daddy and the Bachelors. The guitar player for this band was Tommy Chong, of course, who went on to Cheech and Chong. So for all you Cheech and Chong fans who, oh, yes, okay, let's check out instrumentally Junior's Jerk, Little Daddy. Vancouver's very own. We're going to meet him down at the Elegant Parlor tonight. Thank you.
go. Going back in time, I'm sorry, we're going to have to not meet you at the Elegant Parlor. Sly just called to say, tell Bumpo we won't be able to meet him at the Elegant Parlor. It's closed down. Okay. Well, should have known that. Anyway, Tommy Chong there on guitar and Wes Henderson. And I'm not sure whether it was Wes or the drummer in the band that was actually Junior. That song called Junior's Jerk, Little Daddy.
Tommy Chong is a very cool guy. He was here at the film festival last year for a movie about, you know, his incarceration for the cultivation and ingestion of...
It was the pipes, wasn't it?
Well, all the paraphernalia that goes along with that culture.
Right.
Which reminds us that there's still, I don't know if you noticed, they're still mopping up all the roaches and rolling papers downtown from last Friday's smoke-in. I didn't see much in the paper after the fact. Did you notice anything?
No, I didn't. I drove by there.
It's played down. Can you smell it? I mean, you can still smell it. Is that skunk or what? That's good sativa. Police estimates are the attendance between 150 and 200,000. Well, that's sort of a wide swath.
Yeah.
Generally mellower, more civil than those alcohol-fueled clubs that comprise our Granville Entertainment District. We've said it before, man. You take out the most of the booze places or palaces, and you replace them with smoke clubs and maybe a couple salad bars, mellow it out a bit. Things down there on the boulevard of broken bones are getting just a bit out of hand. You've seen that in the paper. They're really trying to figure that one out. What were they thinking? Bars open till 4 o'clock? Come on in, Surrey. I'd like to ask on behalf of just a few of my friends down there who live in the area, would those testosterone assholes please give at least a bit of a little fucking consideration to those of us who are trying to fucking meditate, man?
Oh, meditate away.
Rolling up the walls inside.
name is Amy Winehouse, Miss Winehouse to you. Back to Black, second album. First one's now available in Canada called Frank. And her lyrics are really interesting, especially with the kind of musical background that she's employed, which is really a pastiche of a lot of soul music that's gone on. A lot of that album sounds like it could have been recorded back in the days of Doris Troy, and so, if you've heard the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I thought it started out like a Supreme song.
Well, it did. Yeah. That was a Motown riff that they were playing. Amy Winehouse, of course, she's won all sorts of awards, and as much as Joss Stone has a following and a beautiful voice, Amy Winehouse can write songs, and she also can tell Bono to piss off on stage and not feel badly about it. Amy Winehouse. This is CITR 104.9.
No, 101.9.
I'm sorry, man. I just, numbers and me.
Yep.
101.9 CITR out at UBC, coming to you from the campus, brought to you with grants from the Compassion Club. And now, here's Long John and a very special guest who will scare the living daylights out of you.
Hopefully not. Yes, here he is. It's our UFO expert again, joining us here over the airwaves on Radio. It's Michael Strainick.
The scary guy.
Yes, real scary stuff.
Nimrod.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, looks like we're going to do CanCon again, so I hope they're listening. Lots of Canadian content. Now, these first two are ones that are pretty well investigated, but they're the kind that makes a researcher, be very, very cautious, and I'm sure you'll pick out why. Okay, this was Vancouver, July of 2006. I was sitting at my computer editing some earlier UFO footage and pics when I looked out my front window and saw a black bar sitting over downtown Vancouver. It began to rotate slowly and hide in the light clouds that day. It was the first time I had seen an object shaped like this one. If it was a saucer, then I could only see the edge or side of it throughout the entire sighting, which lasted around 20 minutes. And this is daylight. I stepped outside to my balcony and called for it to come over, and it did. Now, we only know one person that can do that.
Dorothy Isaac.
Yes. When the UFO was closer, I asked it to show me some lights, and a clear, twinkling light passed slowly across the blackness, joined by another light. Every time I lifted the camera to take a photo, the ship would power down, and the black bar would get very thin, and the lights would cease. Then I would lower my arm, and it would power up again. Out of 75 photos, there is only one that shows some detail. Well, it didn't show much detail at all. There was also a small sphere nearby, and the sighting ended with the UFO simply fading out.
Wow.
And then the big one was all photos copyrighted by owner. Now, that right there sets off the alarms. Again, June of 06, Vancouver. I have a feeling this is from the same person. I had already been to Queen Elizabeth Park once that morning to film UFOs. I may have caught something on film the first time around, so after I downloaded that batch of items onto my computer, I set off to film some more. It was 2:30 p.m. on Manitoba Street when I looked up to see a bizarre item I will call the White Cap UFO. Why, I don't know, but that's what he said.
Cool.
The most challenging thing was finding it in the viewfinder of the camera. One item resembles a brush or a helicopter, where the other looks more solid. And again, a mention of copyright. Now, I have to admit, the photos are interesting. Go back to some better ones from Ontario. Grimsby, driving home from Grimsby in the evening, 29 or 30th of March, when I chanced to glance to the north of the QEW highway and saw a metallic object floating about 5 meters above a house by the lake. It was not what I expected, as it looked like a rotating metal fly strip. It was just sitting there, bigger than the house it was rotating above. Then it looked like the sun was shining off it, and it was gone. Just plain gone. Okay, Mississauga. number one. Wife and I were outside in our backyard around 9:30 p.m., 28th of March, 07, when we saw eight orange-yellow lights in a perfect chevron or triangle shape about 15 kilometers southwest of Toronto International. The lights were flying in a perfect V formation, similar to how geese fly. There was one identical light to the right of the formation, and all were heading north. The lights were pale yellow orange and did not blink or flash. The lights were three times larger than airplane lights, but not nearly as bright. And the flight path was smooth, consistent, and took about 20 seconds to cross from horizon to horizon. Mississauga number two. On March 30th, 07, I went outside to smoke on the balcony around 4 a.m. and noticed a lighted flying object approaching my apartment building from the southwest. As it flew nearer, I saw one bright white light. It turned left, remained in one position for about 15 minutes. I woke up my wife to witness this peculiar object, and we both could see clearly a flying saucer with three beams of light emitting from its base. My 11-year-old daughter also woke up and saw the object swinging left, then right. It zoomed up with its light fading above the clouds. It then flew back to its original position, where it remained until 6 a.m., when again it shot above the clouds. And that's what's going on in Canada. Phew. Meanwhile, we have films and stills from everywhere. All over the U.S., Shanghai, Cairo, Mexico, Thailand, lots in the U.K. And there's another, if you remember the Marie Celeste, the abandoned ship.
That ship in off Australia.
That's exactly, we've got another one just like it, and it's getting more puzzling as time goes by.
Really?
Because, again, nobody was found on board, no damage was done. The computers were on, the coffee was boiling, that sort of thing. So,
is this the one that was like, because there was a sailboat, and the only thing was the sail was kind of ripped, one of the sails, but otherwise was food on the table and everybody was missing. Is this different from that one?
Not really.
No?
It's pretty much the same.
Oh, but it's a different ship, though.
Different ship, and this is right now. I mean, this just happened.
Oh, you're kidding. In the same area?
No, this is in Australia.
Okay, well, the first one was around there, too, I thought. Maybe we're talking about the same one. Yeah, it was just in the paper today and the day before, too.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It could
weird
be. Well,
stuff.
I mean, you can do a Google on Marie Celeste, and that'll, you know, bring up the other one, and just do one Australia ghost yacht, and you'll come up with the, you know, the story as it is right now.
Okay.
And another good site to visit, this is older stuff, but it's the best there is, is www.NICAP, that's NICAP.org.
National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena.
Yes, I believe you remember as well as I was.
Yes, all right. Well, excellent. And Michael, you're involved with the Center for UFO Studies from Illinois, started by Dr. J. Allen Hynek.
Yep.
And we do recommend that if you have a slight interest in UFOs or you think you've seen something, then you should contact the Center for UFO Studies.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for your latest CanCon and other reports there. Lots of interesting stuff. Thank you, Michael Strainick.
And you're welcome.
2 weeks' time, we'll have you back.
Okey-doke. Catch you then.
Okay, Nimrod's shaking in his boots over here.
I want what he has.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, thank you.
Ciao.
I want to see one of those things, babe. Please.
tuned to Radio Radio here at CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Four minutes before the hour.
No score yet. That's mainly because it was a commercial break and we can't tell.
Yeah.
So, as soon as we get a score, we'll let you know. We will interrupt any programming we do to bring you that score because we know how important it is. And a lot's on the line on this one. It's going to be an ugly night tonight.
Somebody scored in the Edmonton or the Calgary-Detroit game, but I'm not sure.
But we don't care about that right now.
But we'd rather play Detroit than Calgary if we do win this game here.
Okay, if you say so.
That was No Matter How Hard You Try from the CITR playlist by Young Galaxy. And Young Galaxy, of course, is Stephen Ramsey, and Catherine McCandless. Catherine McCandless. And we're hoping they're coming to town. Steve, of course, you saw here when I can't remember the band he played with now. My mind is blanked out. Too many beers.
Are you talking about Canadian band?
Yeah.
Are they from back east?
Yep.
Are they from Montreal?
Stars.
Well, see, you got it.
There you go.
I gave you all the needed.
Hey, Nimrod, did you see a picture of your dad here on the Sun Run 2007 on Section E of the Vancouver Sun from Monday, April 16th? There he is, your dad. He's taking a pee against the tree there. But he was,
right. Well, hey, taking a pee against the tree, he's been known to do that. He's on some kind of water medication for his blood pressure, one of those things.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how you pronounce the thing, but it's exciting for him.
It is.
And for a lot of seniors, including yourself, I know that you always come in here with your little jar, and because you can't make the washroom in time, understood, and it's always full when you leave the studio. At any rate, it's exciting. Finally, Sam's Civil City is getting those much anticipated. You've heard about them, and they're finally here, those public toilets. No more pissing on the streets or in between the newspaper boxes like my dad does all the time because he has to, because he's on the water pills. And what's he going to do? It's a diuretic, man. Come on. Cut him some slack.
Sure.
And anyway, you may view our very first new public toilet facility. It's exciting. Now near completion, corner of Davy and Richards, and that's next to that park, Emery Barnes Park, with the waterfall and the dogs and the shit. And it should be operational within 2 weeks, at which time, we have heard, there will be a ceremonial piss take involving Sam's Civil City Council and even various BC cabinet celebrities. Now the question begs, will it be Gordo or even lovely Carol Taylor who takes the inaugural shit?
I'm trolling.
Trollhead. Hey, is that a fishing song? Should send that out to TDM.
Oh, it's, you know Iggy.
Right.
He may be in his 60s, but he's still a horny little guy.
The Stooges.
Well, that's right. That's the comeback album after 33 years called The Weirdness. Getting mixed reviews, but what I've heard I really like. And it's when you see them live, like they were at Coachella, when they made that a reunion where the audiences were like spellbound, and it's sort of like... just showed the Young Turks just how it's really done. And you know, as far as I know, because you've seen him many times, and he even sat in the back of your car one time when you found him wandering along Davie Street after that horrendous night at the Pender Auditorium. He was with the Stooges there. That was the Raw Power came out. I was too young. My dad always told me when they picked up you and Bumpo picked up Iggy and took him to his hotel, which is right off of Denman and Davie. But...
Was that in Morris? Was that Bumpo's Morris?
In his Morris Minor, yeah. And Iggy sat on the back seat, and my dad was talking to him about meeting Lou Reed and getting drunk with him a couple weeks before that. And, you know how my dad likes to, say, like, well, and Iggy would say, like, oh, yeah, I had drinks with Lou on Mallorca. And anyway, oh, by the way, I'll save it. I have a Lou Reed, Laurie Anderson story that links in with Alex Vardy from the Georgia Strait, but you'll have to wait
another.
2 weeks for that. We're back to Iggy now. He has reunited with Ron Ashton guitar and Scott Ashton on drums. And he has the former Minuteman and Firehose bassist extraordinaire Mike Watt on this. And really, no matter what you think of the Weirdness, whether you're if you're a longtime Stooges fan, 33 years is a long time. It really is another Iggy album, but it's a good one. And I would love to see this guy again before it's too late. How much is he going to be in his 80s still doing it? Probably.
Could be.
Well, he does Qigong. He does Qigong for 40 minutes every morning, man. He's in great, great shape, and he's alive and he's well. And I mean, who looks like that? Look, this is a picture from the from Stuart Durden's column from South by Southwest. And there is Iggy there. Now, does that guy look to you like he's 60-something?
No,
not at all. That, man. Look at that. But scarred, and he's lived it all. And they are playing Seattle coming up, I think, in the next month or so. Love to go down there. If you have the chutzpah to be able to do it, if you can afford it, and if you have your passport.
Yes.
then let's go and see Iggy, because it may be the last time, especially with the Stooges. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I have a feeling the weather is coming up. We have no score yet in the game, but we'll keep you informed always. 5 after 7.
At 6:06 in the morning is when the sun comes up, if you can believe it, and 8:16 is when it goes down.
Well, who would know?
The days are getting longer, but the rain is coming tonight. It's clouded over. We're hoping we'll be able to see Venus and the moon tonight, but probably not. Rain tomorrow and Wednesday cloudy, and then some more sun and rain and mixed bag on after that.
Promise me it won't be as bad as it was during our nuclear winter, the months of February, March, early April. It was so bad. It was so bad. Medication sales went way up. Seriously. No, and I'm not joking
about it. You're living here on the coast? What do you expect?
Yeah,
right?
Seasonal disorder.
Okay. Check out spaceweather.com/. They've got 3D images of the sun. Now dig out your red and blue 3D glasses and see the sun in 3D on spaceweather.com/.
Please just last. everyone's unhappy, everyone's ashamed. Well, we all just got caught looking at somebody else's page. Well, nothing ever went quite exactly as we planned. Our ideas held no water, but we used them like a dam. Everyone goes crazy over such and such and such. We made ourselves a pillar, we just used it as a crutch. We were certainly uncertain, at least I'm pretty sure I am. Well, we didn't need the water, but we just built that good goddamn. Ever worth it? Was there all that much to gain? Well, we knew we'd miss the boat and we'd already missed the plane. We didn't read the invite, we just danced in our own wake. All our favorites were a plan so we could shake, 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 shake. Tiny curtains open and we heard the tiny clap of little hands. The tiny man would tell a little joke and get a tiny laugh from all them folks sitting drifting around on bubbles then thinking it was us that carried them. When we finally got it figured out that we had truly missed the boat.
I'm sorry I missed that show at the Forum, even though it was the Forum. Johnny Marr on guitar there, Modest Mouse.
Well, and, it got kind of lukewarm reviews, but I think that the venue, I mean, there should be some places that should be razed to the ground and never, ever utilized for music events, and the Forum is number one. I mean, the Gardens is still there, I think.
Yeah,
remember the Gardens Auditorium?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a good place.
And you saw a lot of great shows way back when. But the Forum, good.
Forget
not good
it.
At all.
Yeah.
Not bad, real bad. At any rate, we don't have a score yet. Or do we? Do we have
not
do we,
yet,
is
no.
Is there a score out there? No? No score?
No score.
Okay, no score. No score yet. It's going to be a long night.
Yeah.
And perhaps a very frustrating night.
It could be, yeah.
And again, for those who live downtown, there are people trying to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, let alone
hopefully the overtimes will be over by
meditate.
Then.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, okay, it's you like movies.
I do.
So, try that again. You like movies.
At home in my sofa.
You like movies. Do you watch them with subtitles sometimes? You don't, sure. You don't mind? That doesn't bother you?
I can understand,
you? Yeah, okay. Well, that, of course, Fran Dance would prefer to have subtitle
she
movies.
She loves
them. I got some for her here that she's going to like. Showtime at the Cineplex. No music yet. No. Hold on to that music. Hold on to that music. I'll give you the cue. Not yet. But nice try. It's okay. John, it's all right. Chill, man. It's okay. Just take a deep breath. Remember, you've only been in radio for 45 years. These mistakes are going to happen. What are you drinking? Are they serving beer here now? And has Lydia got a little open bar down at the end of the hallway there?
Back to the movies.
Showtime at the Cineplex. Here they come. Spider-Man 3, Pirates 3, Rush Hour 3, Fantastic Four 2, Triumph of the Will 2, Live Free or Die Hard 4, and the one I know you're looking forward to, Nancy Drew, Teen Sleuth 1, with several sequels to come. But there are at least a few worthy films seeking your viewing pleasure. My dad's protege, Dan Ireland's beautiful film of friendship and age, Mrs. Palfrey at the Claremont, not just for old people, starring the truly great Dame Joan Plowright. Coming soon, Paul Verhoeven's return to form after Hollywood. You remember Showgirls. Although he did make Starship Trooper, and he did make Basic Instinct, and he did make that sci-fi RoboCop. You know, so he knows how to make movies. But he's back telling stories again, back in Netherlands with World War II thriller The Black Book in about a week. Another quietly superb French film called The Page Turner. Uh-huh. Think the piano teacher meets with a friend like Harry. What's not to love there? Meanwhile, a very strong lineup continues for April and May at the wonderful Van City Theater, Davy at Seymour, most comfortable seats you've ever sat in your life. You will want to die there. Through this week, some truly worthwhile Czech New Wave plus one. Czechoslovakian films that are surreal, political, bleak, and groundbreaking, all in 60s black and white. And with a very special screening of the 1933 shocking silent film for its time, Ecstasy, Not the Drug. Ecstasy, Not the Drug. With a young Hedy Lamarr. Remember Hedy Lamarr?
Yes.
Yeah, you're getting turned on, huh? Uh-huh. Old man, you. Okay, then, and now we get interesting.
Okay.
1 week only. Only at the Van City exclusive. He's back to fuck with our heads. Don't wait for the DVD, kids. The only chance to see it on a big screen in those seats. David Lynch's Inland Empire. 172 minutes of surreal, experimental, creepy, nightmarish, and mesmerizing filmmaking. It will confound. It will infuriate. It will confuse. It may delight. Anchored by an incredible performance by Dave's better half, the incomparable Laura Dern. Make no mistake, this is film as art. David fucking David Lynch, man. Inland Empire, May 3rd to the 9th, Van City exclusive. Miss it and be forever damned. And just think way back to where it all began.
You know who is it? But
looking forward to Deer Lake Park on the 23rd of next month.
Which is May. And as a matter of fact,
York.
Bjork's new CD is called Volta, and she has incorporating more. She's getting back to doing tribal rhythms and stuff. And we have heard rumors, but they are not. Nobody has really said for sure that there'll be a very interesting opening act. Because I cannot see Bjork doing a concert in the middle of the afternoon. I think it's a. You have a ticket. What time is it?
5:30 is the doors or something.
Yeah,
there's
but,
an opening
but,
act.
But it'll be.
There's an opening act.
There's an opening, but it doesn't say who the opening act is.
No, it doesn't.
But it's apparently it could be somebody very exciting.
It could be, yeah. No, that was interesting. There was an artist by the name of Tagak, T-A-G-A-Q, who did the voices in behind her there.
Well, see,
now, is that woman from Nunavut?
Yeah.
Yes.
She is. And
very beautiful, very short, very 5 foot tall.
Bjork's concerts usually take on many different forms. She may be doing a very theatrical production that incorporates the wide range of her music, the dance, the mouth music. She may have Atmos. We just don't know at this point.
Right,
but
right.
Volta sounds like a very interesting album. And the only other time that Bjork has been to Vancouver, and this you would remember because you were there, and that was...
The Sugar Cubes?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God,
she's never
really?
She's never played a gig here, so there's
right?
lots of anticipation, well. And tickets still are available. Do not miss Bjork.
Okay.
Never mind the Killers and all that shit out here at UBC. What's that all about, man? I mean, you know, like...
Okay, well, that was from Elektra.
Panic at the Disco?
Something called Who Is It? And now in the world of medicine and the world of interesting things, giving marijuana to mice with cancer shrank their lung tumors by half and slowed spread of the disease. Findings that may one day expand legal use of the substance as a treatment. THC, that's tetrahydrocannabinol, blocks a known cancer-related protein. So that's good news for all
that,
tokers.
But also, too, it came out years ago that,
yes.
And there are there's studies made recently by University of Colorado, University of Zurich, and University of California that stated unequivocally that marijuana does not cause lung cancer because the THC blocks all that shit that's in there, like in cigarettes, right?
Yeah, really. And while you're out there, you can pick some, what you're picking. The humble blackberry may be the best cancer-fighting food source in the world. Yes, Norwegian and U.S. researchers, including U.S. Agricultural Research Services, have ranked blackberries as the top of a long list of antioxidant-rich foods, including walnuts, strawberries, blueberries, artichokes, cranberries, coffee, raspberries, pecans, and ground cloves. There we are, blackberries, and they grow all over the place.
Oh.
Around here.
Well, you were talking about mice, and
yes.
may I just take it one step further?
Certainly.
As if mice, which you know, because they're running rampant everywhere, will never get rid of them, except for the cockroach, who will inherit the world, the earth. We have, of course, a problem with bed bugs. It's being kind of kept under the bed bit, you know, by the media right now,
right.
So as not to scare off potential 2010 visitors. We have dust mites who are. we have a lot of assholes who weren't enough of a concern, Long John, to the locals and tourist officials gearing up for the Olympocalypse 2010. Now it's them damn rats. You have not heard about this? You don't know?
No, tell me about the rats.
Big, ugly, dirty, beastly Norway rats.
Like Norway?
Yeah, Raticus norvegicus, as the Stranglers would have it, from beneath the excavation sites of the 2010. It's been in the papers. You haven't read this, man?
I missed that story.
Where have you been? It's big news. They don't want you to know about it.
They don't know about it in Oakland. How would I know about it?
Okay.
So,
well, they come from beneath the 2010 Canada line where they're doing all that digging up, you know, and then they descend to the street level and seek new accommodation, new digs. Well, we all know that, you know, Vancouver is a pretty unaffordable place, so local restaurants beware. Then again, as our good friend, artist Randy Pandora, or maybe it was Perry Farrell who said, I can't remember, they make great pets.
All right, folks. Well, remember, cremation is bad for the planet. Incinerating one body can produce more than 50 kilograms of carbon dioxide. And
What are you suggesting?
The news is out now. Well, I was going to be cremated, but I don't think I will now. I think I'll just, make a little plot there somewhere. There is a good news for all people who are worried about limbo. You know that apparently for centuries, Roman Catholic traditions believe that the souls of unbaptized babies are condemned to eternity in limbo. You've heard about that?
No, I haven't.
Which is a place neither heaven nor hell. You're just floating there. Well, now...
Well, I live there.
Apparently, many Catholics see this as a harsh and not befitting a merciful God. And so the Vatican Committee has spent years examining that concept, and it concludes that unbaptized babies who die may now go to heaven. So let's go happy trails till 2 weeks' time, Nimrod.
I'm changing my religion, man.
Nice to have you back on the show, and thank you, Trash Tanner. You're signing off.
Bye-bye.
Radio.
No score. Oh, yeah, there is a score.
Yeah, it's 1-0 for the other guys.
Yeah.
If we don't smarten up, we're screwed.
Yeah. Dallas!